This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Jean-Benoit Nadeau and Julie Barlow are the authors of the book Going Solo, Everything You Need to Start Your Business and Succeed as Your Own Boss. They know what they're talking about since they have gathered 35 years of experience as self-employed workers. Jean-Benoit and Julie join us right here in Montreal via Zoom. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for being on the program with us. It's been like a decade since you were on the show with us. I think we had you on when we talked about your book, The Story of Spanish, way back when.
Yeah, that was what year?
2013, I think, yes.
Yeah, so a decade ago, exactly. So now your new book is called Going Solo. Now, you two have been self-employed for a while, and I'm just wondering, before we get to the book, I'm wondering, we've all been through the pandemic. Through the pandemic and after the pandemic, as someone who has worked from home all these years, do you find things have gotten easier because the world has accepted the idea of working from home? And just the fact that we're doing this via Zoom was something that was not available to us a decade ago.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, video conferencing has, in my opinion, simplified our life considerably. We're journalists, we're writers, so there's an element. I mean, it's still fun to go see people, to do some kind of feature research and stuff, but there's a lot of back and forth and traveling that we can now dedicate to writing rather than just moving to places.
And not only that, people are accepting of the idea that you don't necessarily need to be in somebody else's office to converse. Usually it's one of those situations in the past where if you declined going somewhere, they looked at you like either strange or lazy.
Yeah, I think for us, like during the pandemic, the big realization was we were already like organized. We had all the etiquette down, you know, we didn't have like people in their underwear behind us on the screens and so on. We were already like pretty well set up as people working at home in an office, working that way to begin with. So there was a lot of chaos that was removed for us when we switched to this kind of thing. And it was pretty funny to see people scrambling and trying to get it all together.
Yeah.
We felt pretty confident at the time.
Yeah, there was an 18 months of interviewing people and kids were crying in the back and stuff like that. And which is not happening, which has not been happening in the last year. Like,
no, that's true.
Normalized.
But our kids had already been trained to like stay out of the office when we were working, you know, so it was just cute.
Which leads me to the book. And again, since you have so many years of experience being self-employed, it makes me wonder why you waited this long to write this book. But I'm wondering, has the book come out because of your knowledge in what people didn't seem to know? Because you've been doing it for so long and the pandemic just basically clarified to you, well, we need to inform people how to do this job right.
Well, actually, originally the book had a track record in French. I wrote it 25 years ago for the tiny Quebec market. It's called Le Guide du Travailleur Autonome, and it sort of covered all the basics, research, business development, how to produce, how to communicate, how to sell, how to manage, and it did fairly well. And in 2019, in fact, just before the pandemic, Julie had the idea, oh, you know what? This book should have a life in English.
Yeah, well, I thought it had a lot of potential. But it had a lot of great material, you know, but it's just like we have a lot of projects. And I guess this was my pandemic project. During the pandemic, I had a little bit of time, you know, market kind of slowed down a little bit for a few months there. And so I just dug in. I started translating it and adapting it. And then we ended up coming out with a Canadian edition and a US edition. That was just our goal. It was a strange thing that we waited so long to translate it. But I mean, it's just like we had a lot of other stuff going on and just had to sort of find the right moment for it, I guess.
For a long time, I thought it was not adaptable because the tone was very personal. And in the end, it's turning out to meet exactly the need it met in Quebec, which is that nobody had written a complete book on how to start your own business and how to run it. Nobody had done that, oddly enough.
As you say, you wrote the book 35 years ago, and now you're translating it into English. What has changed in those 35 years? What did you have to update?
Jean had written three updates in the meantime. So there, in fact, by the time I was translating it, the version I had, there was not a lot to update. Everything has changed since 25 years ago. You know, computers, social media, like there's a whole bunch of information that wouldn't have been in the original edition, but it's been added over the...
The biggest update, I would say, was everything related to video conferencing and social media. Regarding marketing, like, for example, 10 years ago, everything was very high on, the website. And now, we dedicate a chapter to the cyber presence that you're supposed to develop. And now we can explain that this was not something you could address 10 years ago, but now you can say you can have a real cyber presence without necessarily having a website.
We have the wisdom of, you know, 3 decades, and we've seen a lot of trends, everybody going on board for this and that. And now, you know, we can step back and say, whoa, you know, take it easy, you know, choose one social media platform, for instance. Don't try to chase every new platform as it's coming out.
But the book is very much about how you find the multipliers. I call that way. See, a person who earns $200,000 or $250,000 a year doesn't work 10 times as much as the person who earns $25,000. They just do a certain number of things in a way that multiply their works. For writers like us, it means, for example, developing ideas that not one client will want, but two or three, for example.
Or ideas that not one type of media will want, but more with two of them. You know, we're developing our books into film projects, and we've developed a radio project out of it, and that's multiplying our work without, you know, working 10 times more.
Exactly. That's probably one of the central ideas. So it's about finding your multipliers and selling, but it's also in producing. One big section of the book, for example, is negotiating, which is, in fact, at the juncture of financing and producing. Because if you don't negotiate well, you're not going to self-finance well, and you are going to have trouble doing it. But if you work in a good spirit for financing, you will be able to produce more effectively and have less hassle.
We basically explain how to come out ahead in all your negotiations. It's not always about money. It's about conditions. And you have to know what you want and how different projects are going to work for you in order to you know, put together a good business and not lose your mind.
One of the things about this is, you know, just the title Going Solo, that means so many things to so many people because there are so many different businesses that one can have where they go solo. So you brought up just a few moments ago the idea of social media and what you need to use as far as being an entrepreneur using social media. And I'm just curious to know, do you divide it between the type of businesses people have? Because, you know, some people need more social media than others. Some might not need social media, depending upon what their business is.
Yeah, we insist a lot on that. It's important for people to really analyze their own needs and not listen to commonplace comments. If your business is going to be a dog groomer, your best publicity tool is starting to be a sign on the street. Developing a big media campaign with social media might be completely useless unless you want to develop a chain, a franchise. But other than that, it might not be necessary. So you really, really have to be attuned with your market, where you want to sell, your goals. We insist a lot on the notion of goals. What you're doing it for, what for, is very important as a question. If you want to do social dancing as be a coach of social dancing, you're not going to do all the little decisions that you have to take if your purpose is to start a franchise or win the Olympics of social dancing or train people who will win the Olympics of social dancing or develop a line of shoes for people who will win competitions of social dancing. You will not even choose your clients in the same way, and you will not choose your location. All the small decisions that you normally take are oriented by the purpose that you give to your business. So it's important to listen to yourself also.
Do you think that getting into business, going solo as it were, is easier now than it was when you guys started 35 years ago? Or is it more difficult or more competitive?
That's a good question. I don't think that it's necessarily easier. There's a lot of things that are easier. I think people who want to be entrepreneurs and self-employed, they kind of have it in them. And so I think, you know, it's roughly been 10 to 12% of the Canadian population that's been self-employed sort of over the decades. And I think it's really something that people have in them. A lot of people who want to start a business, I mean, I guess that's why we wrote the book. For the people out there who have it in them, these are the tools. This is how to do it. Because one thing holding people back, like me, for instance, was I didn't come from a background of business people or entrepreneurs. I had really no idea just that what the nuts and bolts and the decisions I would have to make would be.
Yeah.
And I needed a book like this. And so
I did.
And you did. Yeah, Jean did. You know, and it makes all the difference. So I don't think it's harder or easier. I think it's there for anybody, but you just sort of have to know it's in you.
I would say there's a little bit more social acceptance because business now is more about ideas and less about brick and mortar. And that was very important 40 years ago. A business had to be a business, like it had to be a place established and all. And now, yes, there's still that for depending on your field, but what you have to offer, your ideas, your brand, this is a lot more valued. And even financial institutions that evaluate the loans that they give to companies consider those notions a lot more than they did 35 years ago. 35 years ago, ideas had no value. And nowadays, it's quite different. So this is an advantage to self-employed people who want to go solo because there's more understanding of what they can possibly do.
Quick question, because we're just about out of time. Do you believe that someone who's thinking about going solo should literally jump in with both feet? Or is it a situation where you can dip your toe into the water? And by that, I mean, in most of the times when people think about going solo, they already have some sort of job. Should they leave it outright and start something anew? Or should they hang on to that as a sort of a backstop before they get their business up and running?
The question isn't really like about leaving your job or not leaving your job. It's about evaluating how much money you're going to need to get through the startup phase. So yes, if you don't have a bunch of money or perhaps, you know, in some cases, a spouse who can sort of hold it over while you're getting started, then you should probably hang on to your job and start gradually.
Yeah.
But if you have the means, if it's possible, I mean, there's no reason to hold on to a job if you have some money and you can get through the first part. There's always a startup phase. You're always going to start slowly and not make money for a while. It depends on what business you're in.
Yeah.
But I think that's sort of the general wisdom. And we talk about that in the book. We give people different scenarios. You know, if you're a student, if you've got a job, it's important, however, not to be going solo with a mentality of trying to get a job. And that's why you'll lose out if you do that.
Yeah, you're creating a business. The key issue is your learning curve. If you master your field, for example, if you're already a dog groomer for a company and you want to become a dog groomer, a self-employed dog groomer, you have nothing to learn about dog grooming. You know it. The only thing you have to learn is about how to sell and how to manage and how to research your market and stuff like that. Your learning curve will be fairly short. You might need to hold to your job a couple of months at the beginning, but not too much. If you have never done dog grooming, your learning curve will be longer because you have to learn all the business side plus the practice. So then you may need to stick to your job or fight or love money a lot longer.
Well, it's a valuable book and very, very important, especially in this time. The book is called Going Solo, Everything You Need to Start Your Business and Succeed as Your Own Boss. Jean-Benoit and Julie, thank you very much for being on the program with us once again.
Thanks for receiving us. Thank you.
Jean-Benoit Nadeau and Julie Barlow, authors of Going Solo, Everything You Need to Start Your Business and Succeed as Your Own Boss. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0740, and you'll find links to their site, plus links to either amazon.com or amazon.ca, where you can order their book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.